While they're passing them out, I want you to find two passages in your Bible. Put your finger in two places, if you will, please. I want you to find Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. That's hard to find. Genesis, that's after the book of Hezekiah. Genesis 1:1 and the other Romans 11:36. Romans 11:36. And then I've got to find out if you're awake or sleepy or how you are today mentally. I have a decision to make. Have a decision to make. Thank you, man. That's all we need. Everybody got a copy? Romans 11:36. Romans 11:36. Now, keep your finger in those two places. Your minds are alert, I hope. One of these days we're going to get some Jolt Cola and double caffeine coffee. All right. You know, we need to know, we need to get a grip on what's going on in our lives and in our world. We are living in a day of trepidation and fear. I heard a half hour of fear-mongering on climate change. And the whole universe is going to fall apart if we don't do certain things as mankind. Because we don't fear God, we fear everything else. Now hear me, you will either live in fear of God or you'll live in fear of everything else. There will be no peace to those who don't fear God. No quietness of heart and mind to those who do not fear God. It won't happen. I'm just amazed at how people live in fear. They live in fear of the air they breathe and the water they drink and the things they touch. And they just live in total fear of everything around them. Am I right or wrong? And they used to live in fear of heaven and hell. Now they don't fear God, they don't fear heaven, they don't fear hell. They fear bugs and they fear climate change and they fear all of these other things. Chemicals and all these other things. May I say this, and let me say it very plainly. The only thing that controls your destiny and controls your well-being is God. And He's in charge completely. He's in charge completely. Now, your life, secular or sacred? All right, read for me Genesis 1:1. Read it out loud, please. Are you ready? In. All right. Give me the first four words of that, all right? First four words, out loud. Once again. In the beginning, God. All right? Now, there was no time, there was no space, there was no Big Bang, there was nothing but God. That's all. All right? Now you're in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verse number 36. Verse number 36. Romans 11, verse number 36. All right? Read that out loud together for me, please. Are you ready? For. All right. For out of Him, through Him, and into Him are all things. In the beginning, God created. All things come out of Him. They exist because of Him, and they have their final ending in Him. Period. God is God from beginning to end. He is our origination of Him. He is our continuation through Him. And he is our consummation. Into him are all things, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. What a concluding statement. If it's out of him and through him and into him, then it ought to have something to do with what he wants done. Yes? It ought to have something to do with him. Why did Paul say that in all things he might have the preeminence? All things. All things. We have this mistaken idea that there's God over here and then there's everything else over here. Without God, there's nothing over here. And you cannot contain God in time because he invented time. It's a part of his creation. He supersedes. We call him eternal. Beyond the bounds of time. You can't limit God by time. You can't limit God by space. He doesn't fit because he invented space. And he can fill space, but he cannot be contained in space. So he fills everything. And he's present in all of time. But you can't contain him in a created order because it's something he made. So, of him and through him and to him. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what in the world is involved in that statement? The heavens. Well, we read about billions of galaxies. And they say now 100 billion galaxies. That's too much for my brain. I said somebody's made some mistakes in the math, but I read it from credible sources all over the place. Can you conceive how many is a billion? A billion is 1,000 million. So 100,000 million, that's 100 billion. Galaxies, each one having around 100 billion stars. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. In the beginning, God created the heavens, and he created the earth. And stupid man is looking for another planet like planet Earth to prove that evolution can repeat itself. The question isn't if evolution repeated itself. It can't repeat itself because it's all by chance and accident. Accidents don't repeat the same way. He created the heavens and the earth. And as we get into this thing and we look at Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we notice that God will have put him on a planet with everything that the human mind can imagine it can need and from which it can create things. Don't want to go there in advance too much. I want to take you on a very technical trip this morning. I don't want to do this, but I want to do it. I think that you and I need to stop living in awe of man, and we need to start living in awe of God. That's the way we need to live and think. And I have here an article, and I don't know what to do because this is technical, and these words are going to be words that most of us have never heard before. And what you're going to do is you're going to pull it down the shades of your mind. I want you to listen to every word that I'm going to read. I don't, whether you understand it or not, listen to it. This is an amazing article. And when I get done with this thing, your life, secular or sacred. Now, if God really created the heavens and the earth, and if it's true that out of him and through him and into him are all things, there is nothing in our world that is secular. Nothing is secular. There's nothing in our life that's secular. Nothing. Nothing. Everything is filled with divine design and purpose. Everything without exception. And that includes the things we don't like that happen to us. Everything. Everything. Either God is God or He's not. What kind of a God do we worship and serve? I picked up an article. I didn't pick it up. I get a magazine called The Acts and Facts from Creation Research Institute. This is a group of scientists, born-again believers, highly, highly accomplished scientists in various fields of study and endeavor. And this article is about your brain. And though you don't understand a lot of the things I'll read, I'll try to make it as easy on you as I can. But I just want you to understand that anybody that believes in evolution has got to have his head examined. I'm serious about that. And I'm going to give you some of the reasons. Just the human brain. Just the human brain. You say, my brain is not much. It's gray matter. And I have thought processes, and I have emotions and feelings, and my brain does somehow cause my body to function. It does direct the functions of my body. How many of you know about computers? Anybody? How many of you do use computers? All right. How many of you use cell phones? Your cell phone is a computer. Your cell phone is a much more powerful computer than the first computers I started working with in the office here. It is a computer. It has all kinds of wiring in there that's put together to do very complex functions. And it is amazing how much computational power. Any of you into power computing? Anybody here into power computing? I mean, you really got a powerful computer? Got the big processor? Got some that are into that? Have you heard about supercomputers? No, you guys, doesn't anybody read anything here? Am I the only one fascinated with this stuff? Wow. They've got a new Apple 10 out, you know. That thing is powerful. You can hold it in your hand. The number of computations that can the thing do in a microsecond is absolutely amazing. Do you know that we go to the moon by computers? We that's how we get to the moon. How we build the rockets and the systems that guide the rockets to where they're going. Well, listen. In 2010, this is 2010. How many years ago? 7 years ago? Okay, so this is old stuff. Group of Stanford scientists published a new visualization technique based on targeting individual proteins involved in transmitting electrical brain signals. Simply says, in your brain there are proteins that transmit electrical signals. That's why you can see, you can hear. This is why you function, because this is all going on in your brain. And by the way, did you know that your brain uses 10 watts of electrical power? It consumes more energy than any other organ in your body. Did you know that? 10 watts. Okay, so if they call you a dim bulb, you are. Oh, 10 watts is not much. This technology allowed for previously unknown levels of multidimensional assessment of synapse complexity and diversity. Researchers discovered that a single synapse is like a computer's microprocessor, continuing both memory storage and information processing features. Wow. Now you have billions of synapses in your brain. The previous oversimplified belief was that synapses acted like basic on-off switches, but nothing could be further from the truth. The brain acts more like a quantum computer. Now, only a few in this congregation knows what that means. But a quantum computer goes beyond anything that we have in use today, basically. I mean, it takes what today's computers does, and it's 10, 20, 30 times more powerful. Okay, that's a quantum computer. Your brain acts more like a quantum computer than a digital computer. I mean, this just happened now. There was a big bang, and then somewhere some little acid formed in a pond somewhere, and then it formed a living substance, and then it became a tadpole, and then one cell at a time it began to develop. And ultimately, just through enough time, and all of this is by random chance now. See, time plus chance plus nothing equals everything. This is what they believe. I'm not misrepresenting it. Now, how did your brain get this computing power by random chance over a period of time? Where did all of this stuff go without a designer? I mean, even guys with brains can't figure it out. And then they tell us it doesn't have a design. Woo! And if it has a design, then they want us to believe that it's a design without a designer. It's a building without an architect. It's a car without an engineer to design it. This is what we are supposed to believe, and we're supposed to believe we're uneducated, stupid people that rely on faith and not science, and they're science and we're faith. That's what we're told. Just one synapse alone can contain about 1,000 molecular scale microprocessor units acting in a quantum computing environment. An average healthy human brain contains 200 billion nerve cells connected to one another through hundreds of trillions of synapses. You think that you're not extraordinary? You think I'm just an ordinary person. I'm just little old me. God doesn't notice me. Nothing special about me. Come on. Come on. To put this in perspective, one of the researchers revealed that the study's results show a single human brain, are you getting this, has more information processing units than all the computers, routers, and internet connections on Earth. One brain. Young people, it says, in the beginning, God created. Somebody really has to know something to put something like this together. Phenomenal processing speed. Wow, 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 wow. Scientists discovered that branch projections of neurons are not merely passive conduits, electrically active, generate nearly 10 times more electrical spikes than the main body of the neuron cell, which is called a soma. And absolutely amazing. I'm just looking through this because I don't want to read all of it. Yet another recent discovery revealed incredible levels of memory storage in the human brain. This doctor, Sejnowski, leading scientist, said this is a real bombshell. We discovered the key to unlocking the design principle for how hippocampal neurons function with low energy but high computation power. Our new measurements of the brain memory capacity increased conservative estimates by a factor of 10 to at least a petabyte in the same ballpark as the World Wide Web. Your brain has memory capacity of the World Wide Web. Your brain. This is 7 years ago. They're still finding out more. One of the most energy-hungry organs, I just told you about that. If you did a computer, computational capacity of the human brain, it would take the output of a small hydroelectric plant to power just what your brain computes. Is this amazing or not? Multidimensional processing. Biophoton brain connections. This means that there is actual light creation in your brain going on. You've heard about fiber optics? Anybody heard about fiber optics? They send light pulses through instead of electrical pulses. Your brain has fiber optics in it. The way the connections and the things are built up and multi-layered, beyond human comprehension. Wow. So, all of this is you. It is you. Are you created or are you not created? Are you designed or are you not designed? Let's get that settled. Are you an act of special creation by God or are you not? Now, let's go a little further. Here's something else that is mind-boggling. In the formation of the new life in the womb of the mother, you have the male and the female coming together. Do they call it a zygote? What do they call that? Just the initial being that's in the mother's womb. Two cells that come together. Are you awake now? Are you awake now? All right. How do we get this brain we've just discussed and discovered from that? Do you know that there's enough information in those first two cells come together to create that brain, the whole body, and make it all a workable unit? Is conception a miracle or is it not a miracle? Are you getting this? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Out of him, through him, and into him is everything. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, until we get figured out who God is and who we are, we don't figure out who we are and what we should be doing. Again, if what I've told you this morning is true, there is nothing in this universe that is secular. Nothing. 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 It's all sacred. It all belongs to God. Nothing exists outside of God. Nothing exists out of his plan, his purpose, his pleasures. Nothing. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? Help me now. Right or wrong? So, let's take a look at the beginning of the outline, and my time is up, but let's draw a wrapping on this thing. All right? Notice I give you definitions. These are dictionary definitions. I got them off of the internet. Google, actually I got these from Google. Secular, denoting attitudes, activities, or other things that have no religious or spiritual basis. You see, there's an assumption that there are things out there that are not connected to God. That's a lie. That's a lie. Non-religious, lay, temporal, worldly, earthly, profane, not subject to or bound by religious rule. For of him, and through him, and into him, everything. Everything. Now sacred, connected with God or dedicated to a religious purpose or so deserving veneration. Religious rather than secular, embodying the laws and doctrines of a religion. All right? So when we go through this study, we are going to look at two aspects of our lives. We're going to look at our personal beings. We are tripartite, body and soul and spirit. We have a mind, we have a heart, we have a body. And they're all interrelated. They function together with divine purpose. Not human purpose. What we're doing in culture today is we are redefining who man is and what his purpose on earth is. Getting total redefinition of that. We are redefining that. Our personal being, who and what we are. And then secondly, our work or our vocation. Who are we? What are we? Why do we exist? And we have vocation whether or not we are employed. Whether we're children, young people, unemployed, it doesn't matter. Old or retired, we all have vocation. We all have purpose. Why do we exist? And then notice it's from our work, which we do, that which we do in life, that we form a great deal of our own personal identity, more than from almost anything else. You ask a man, well, who and what are you? Well, I'm a doctor. Well, I'm a lawyer. Well, I'm a nurse. I'm an engineer. I'm a mechanic. I'm a sales clerk. I'm a, see? So, what are you? Okay. A lot of last names, by the way, come from that. Smith, he was a smithy. He worked with metalwork and in a smith shop, like a blacksmith. So a lot of names are derived from vocations. A lot of last names are, especially in the English language. I don't know about the others. I know about the English language. Notice we do not derive our own personal significance because of our work or vocation. Our work and vocation become significant, get this, because of the calling of God upon our lives. Everything, are you seeing this now, highlighted in yellow? Everything God calls us to do is of divine significance. This is all God's world. All of life is God's. It's all God's. It all has divine reason behind it. It all has divine significance behind it. We're going to find out that Adam was a gardener. Why do you grow a garden? Help me! Are we so far removed from nature? Nobody knows why we grow a garden. Why do we grow a garden? Help me! Why? Food! We eat! And if somebody didn't grow a garden, we wouldn't be eating today. We eat. God designed that Adam was put in a garden even before sin came. We say it's because of sin Adam had. No, sin changed the work nature. But there was work, all kinds of work, before sin ever got here. And in the kingdom of God, in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, there's going to be work, a new heavens and a new earth. There's going to be activity going on because God's order designs that things are of divine significance. He made it that way. And nothing is insignificant that God designs to be done, period. We've got to get over this business of classifying things like our pagan culture around us. Everything God calls us to do is of divine significance. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. For of Him and through Him and to or into Him are all things, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Do you know Him as your Savior? Wow. Do you know God? There is no life, no life purpose without knowing God, because He's the only one that gives purpose to life. You can invent a purpose outside of God, and all you're doing is inventing something in the wildest of your imagination that means nothing. The reason people are empty in their vocations is because their vocations are empty of the will of God. God didn't come to empty things. He comes to fill things. Sin empties them. God fills them. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Come on. Have you been saved? Is there a day and a time in your life when you realized that you were in desperate need of salvation, forgiveness of sins, rescue from hell and judgment, and you received Jesus Christ knowing and believing that He died for your sins upon the cross, was buried and raised from the dead, and you believed He was alive, and you invited Him, you called on His name, and you asked Him to save you from your sin. Have you done that? Come on, have you done that? See? And if you haven't, do it now. Right where you are. Right where you are. Do it. Call out. He hears a silent prayer, and just cry out to Him today. Save me, O God. Lord Jesus, I receive You as my personal Savior. Come, save me now. And everyone, whoever he might be, who calls on the name of the Lord will be rescued from the judgment of his sins. That's the promise. Everyone who's believing into him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Trust him now. And let's get it settled, believers. We are not second-class citizens in this scientific world in which we live. All true science acknowledges God, and any science that does not acknowledge God is not true science. Period. 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 We are not second-class citizens in this country. And we who believe the Word of God need to be leaders and not followers. We are not to be intimidated by the proclamations of godless men who haven't got things figured out.